Jesus and is with us. You may be seated. Jesus saves us and is with us. Jesus saves us and is with us. Dear Lord, I pray that as we go through this text, dear Lord, it's familiar to many of us, some of us, especially if we were raised in the church. We've read it. We've heard it in Sunday school. We've heard it preached many times. And sometimes, dear God, the when we hear things we've heard before, we tend to kind of dull our ears or not be as alert. So I pray, dear God, that you would speak this to us as if this is our first time hearing it, that you would give us eyes to see things that perhaps we did not see in the text before, and that we would all the more appreciate this virgin birth, this lady, Mary, who knew no man sexually, but yet was pregnant. And then this baby, the Christ child, who came to save his people from their sins. This Christ child, who is Emmanuel, he's God with us. So speak this to our hearts and minds today, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, saints, as I just prayed this, as oftentimes when you read or hear a message that maybe you've kind of familiar with, if you're not careful, you're kind of like, well, I've heard that before. I know that before, but ask the Lord to just kind of give you a new appreciation, a new insight to this wonderful, wonderful, amazing miracle that we're going to look at this morning called the Christ child being born of a virgin. And Jesus Christ, he is the one who indeed saves us and is with us. I think all of us would agree this morning that Jesus Christ saves. He saves us. If you know him personally, he saved you he's brought you from the guttermost to the uttermost. As I mentioned earlier, he saved us from eternity in hell, and now we have a relationship with him, and we're on our way to heaven. Jesus saves. He saves us. He saves us from danger, seen and unseen. Those things Jesus say. If we listen to him, he can save us from foolish decisions. If we listen to him, can I get a witness right there? If we listen to him, he can save us. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. Jesus not only saves us, but he's also with us. It's not like whenever you accept him as your Lord and Savior, that he saved you and he said, okay, y'all make it the best way you can. No, he saved us. He's still with us. The same Christ that saved me back in August of 1992 is the same Christ that's walking with me today. He's the same one that woke me up this morning. He not only saves us, but he also is with us. Who wouldn't love a Savior like that? Who saved you, but also he's keeping us and walking with us. He walks with us. He talks with us. He leads us along life's narrow way. He will never, no, never, no, never leave us nor forsake us. He will never leave us nor forsake. Nobody else can make that claim. Our parents, our siblings, our buddies, our partners, they can't make that claim. They will never leave us nor forsake us. But our Christ, our God, said he would never leave us nor forsake us. That's good news, saints. That's good news that I have somebody with me every day. Today, tomorrow, next week, next year, Christ is with us. He not only saves us, Sister Kendall, good to see you back from college. It's not only good that he saves us, but also he's with us. So as you finish up your Christmas shopping, or as if you're like me, as you try to start your Christmas shopping, realize Christ is with you. Really, he's with you wherever you go. He's with us, saints. He's with us. As we do all these other things that we do during the month of December, a lot of them are good things. Maybe some we might can cut off, but a lot of them are good things. But as we do all these other things, going to the little office get-togethers and, going over friends' houses for gatherings around Christmas, that's good. But remember that Christ is indeed the one who saves us. He is indeed the one who is with us. As I said last week, it would be a terrible thing if somebody invited you to you came to your birthday party, and everybody at the party ignored you. Like, wait a minute, I thought it was my birthday today. So this month of December, where we celebrate the birth of Christ, which we don't really know if he was born this time of year or not. I often tell people I don't really concern myself with that. I'm really glad that he was born. I say, I'm glad that he could have been December, could have been a warmer month. I'm glad that he was born. Live the perfect, free, sin-free life. Died on Calvary's cross. That's my concern. You can debate and research all you want to about what day he was born. I'm glad he was born. So let us remember, saints, that Christ was born. He saves us and he's with us. Let us look at verse 18. Let's just kind of go through these, mainly through verse 23 kind of carefully. Verse 18 says, now the birth of Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed, I'm going to talk about that word in just a moment, to Joseph, before they came together, before they had sex, before they came together, she was found with child, listen to this, of the Holy Spirit. Before they came together, she was pregnant. She was a child by the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll talk about that in just a second. But first, let me get this first part. Mary being betrothed to Joseph. In the Jewish customs, this betrothal was much more closer to our marriage than, say, engagement. It was a very serious thing, this betrothal. William Barclay, a theologian, he explains it this way. Let me just read this about this being Mary being betrothed to Joseph. Because this is very important to this Christmas account this morning, that what this betrothal, what it really means. Barclay said that there were three steps in a Jewish marriage, typically. Excuse me. The first step was the engagement, which often was arranged, the engagement, through a matchmaker when the boy and girl oftentimes were still children. It was often arranged when they were still little kids. Then secondly, three steps. Secondly was this being betrothed to someone. What we're talking about here, betrothed, this is betrothal, B-E-T-R-O-T-H-A-L. This was a formal ratification of the marriage to be. Usually done a year before the couple was married. And then, of course, the third thing was the wedding itself, which lasted a whole week. At which time the marriage was consummated. The new bride, husband and wife enjoyed themselves sexually during that time. Now, during the betrothal, this whole year-long process, listen to this, if a man died during this one-year period before they actually got married, Brother Charlie, if a man died, the lady was typically considered a widow. They were actually oftentimes even referred to as husband and wife. Though again, they refrained from having sexual relations, end quote. So this being betrothed to someone was a very serious thing. It was like a legal binding. It's basically almost like our marriage today. It wasn't like our engagement today. You know, people get engaged all the time, engaged 5, 10, 15 times and break the engagement off. So, hey, that wasn't the right one. It ain't gonna work out. You know. But no, when you got betrothed to someone, it was basically a legally binding document. It was like you really were married, even though you weren't quite married yet. But it was basically just like that. So here it is. Think about this now. We're going to step into the shoes of Joseph for just a moment as we want to read it here in verse 19. Here it is, Mary, whom I'm sure he loved dearly. I mean, they're betrothed. They're getting ready to count down the days till they get married. And then all of a sudden, Mary is pregnant. But yet, Joseph is not the father. This is in the Bible. And sometimes, like I said, we read this so many times. I mean, Joseph, this is, you know, they're like almost, they basically like married and she's pregnant and he's not the father. Let me say it one more time. They're basically like married and she's pregnant, but he's not the father. And then she's saying stuff like, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now that doesn't make any sense, humanly speaking. I mean, we just read it today and we say, oh yeah. But no, just think about that. Minister Brady said, you know, when you use your spouse or your kids, you're supposed to get their permission first. So I'm not going to get my permission this time. I had to be in a doghouse. I mean, Tanya and I were engaged, and she said she was maybe pregnant, but the Holy Spirit was the father. I don't know how I would have dealt with that. I don't know how I would have dealt with that. But Joseph, we can learn something from all the characters in the Bible, right? Do we agree with that? We can learn something from all the characters in the Bible. We can learn what to do, what not to do. We can learn some good stuff and some bad stuff. Now, Joseph, I stand accused. I've tried that because often Joseph is in the background during all the Christmas season and the text even. Do you realize, and it had never clicked for me, but I heard a guy mention it today and Tanya mentioned it this week, rather. Joseph never speaks in the Bible. Do you ever think about that? Joseph, you cannot find a quote from Joseph anywhere in the Bible. Yet, Brother Joseph, his life speaks volumes. the Bible said he was a just man, a righteous man. Think about it. God the Father could have picked anybody to be the earthly father of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God the Father picked Joseph. Let me press on the text just a little bit here. I can almost hear God saying what he said about Job. Have you considered my servant Job, who's a righteous man, an upright man? I can hear God saying a similar thing about Joseph. Okay, have you considered my servant Joseph? I'm going to allow my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be reared in Joseph's house. So Joseph had to be a godly man. Joseph had to be a man's man. So here it is. Joseph finds out his wife to be is pregnant. Let's see how he responds to that in verse 19 and see what we can learn from Joseph out of this text. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, a righteous man, and not wanting to make her a public example, a public spectacle, was minded to put her away secretly. Again, Joseph, let's step into the shoes of Joseph for just a moment. This was Mary, his wife to be. This is Mary, who I'm sure he loves dearly. And so now he finds out and hearing that she is pregnant. And so obviously he's hurt. I'm sure he's confused. I'm sure he's frustrated. But he doesn't want to publicly embarrass Mary. Now, typically, the reason I spent a little time previously on what being betrothed to someone really means, now really, since Mary was pregnant and Joseph wasn't the father, Joseph could have really legally even had her stoned. Any Bible readers in the house? Yeah, y'all remember when they were, you know, they were always trying to test Jesus. Y'all remember when they bought the lady who was caught in the very, what? The act of adultery, right? And they came to Jesus basically, hey, are you going to stone her? Going to forgive her? I mean, the custom said adultery was a stonable offense. If you were caught in adultery, you could legally be stoned to death. So Joseph, he could have said, well, okay, I'm mad. She's been unfaithful. I'm going to expose it publicly. I'm going to tell everybody and we're going to stone her. But no, Joseph said, I want to take the low road. I'm going to put her away quietly. I'm not going to marry her, but I'm just going to kind of put her away quietly. I'm going to quietly dissolve the relationship. He didn't want to shame Mary. He didn't want to embarrass Mary. Although he himself, again, I'm sure he was truly hurt and disappointed. But Joseph was, you want to write this down. These are some good qualities for all of us. Joseph was obviously a forgiving man. Joseph was often was showing compassion and love toward Mary and by just putting her away privately. Hope I painted that picture, okay? But really, you know, the average person probably would say, hey, you know, I'm going to tell everybody, or we're going to stone you, or we're going to shame you. But no, he said, I'm just going to put her away quietly. That was kind of the noble thing to do. Y'all with me this morning? That was a noble thing to do. He said, I'm just going to put her away quietly. I'm not going to publicly shame her. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I'm hurt. I'm just going to put her away quietly. But let's look and see what happens. See, I'm preaching about Jesus saves us. He's always with us. God is always with us. Look what happens in verse 20 and 21. I read it earlier. Let me read it again. Verse 20 and 21, when Joseph was thinking about putting her away quietly. But while he thought about these things, verse 20 of Matthew 1, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that one more time. That which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. See, as Joseph pondered this, what to do, I'm going to maybe put it away quietly. Listen to this. I'm sure he was praying during that time as well. He kept an eye and an ear open to God. Let me say that one more time. When Joseph was going through these tough times, when his wife-to-be was pregnant, I'm sure he was praying. He, even though he was hurt and disappointed, he kept an eye and an ear open to God. Saints, when you and I are dealing with stuff in life, be it what we would consider a small matter, or a big matter. Check this out. It's all small to God, by the way. It's no like, you know, that's a little problem, it's a big problem. No, it's all small to God. But when we are dealing with weighty matters in life, saints, things that not only may alter your life, but also alter the lives of others, make sure you keep an eye and an ear open to God. What does God say about this situation? Not just how I feel about it, or what I think is right, or what I think is wrong. Because oftentimes, our feelings, our heart, quote unquote, lead us the wrong way. Our heart, our feelings oftentimes will lead us the wrong way. Matter of fact, Jeremiah would say our heart is desperately sick and deceitful and wicked. And Jesus said, out of the heart comes all kind of sin. So as you and I go through various things in life, we got to do like Joseph, keep an eye and an ear open to the voice of God. Keep an eye and an ear open to the word of God and see what God says about the situation. And so Joseph is listening. And so he goes to sleep, and in this dream, the angel of the Lord speaks to Joseph and tells him that Mary is still a virgin. She hasn't been unfaithful to you. She's still a virgin. She's still a virgin. She's pregnant, but she's pregnant of the Holy Spirit. We call this the Immaculate Conception. Think about it. It's never happened before, and it will never happen again. We got to focus more on the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, I can't line up with these other religious people to be talking about this stuff now, especially in what we call this age of inclusivism. Folks like the Muslims and others saying, well, really, come on, Christian friends, we worship the same God. We worship the same Jesus. No, we don't. No, we don't. The Jesus I worship was born of a virgin. Jesus I worship was born in a way that nobody else has ever been born before. So I'm sorry. I can't get down with the guy. I remember when this guy used to own this store right over here. He was a Muslim. And I would go over there in time to time. Matter of fact, Brother Jeffrey Bradsby used to live in the back. He has a little apartment back there. And we would talk. And he's like, oh, yeah, preacher. He was a Muslim. He said, oh, yeah, y'all church, I see. That's when Harriet Tubman was there. He's like, I like y'all. See y'all giving clothes and feeding to people. I like that, man. You know, Jesus is a good prophet. That's what he said. I'll never forget that. He said, Jesus is a good prophet. And I'm just listening, and I said, yeah, you're right, he is a good prophet. And he said some other good stuff. And finally, I had to just tell him, I said, man, you left out one thing. He is a good prophet. He is a good moral teacher. He is a healer. He's all of those things, but he's also God in the flesh. And I said, he's also God in the flesh. He was, he had to say, no, I don't agree with that. No, that's what he said. We kind of left it right there. I said, wait a minute. Jesus is indeed God in the flesh. He's Emmanuel, God with us. The uniqueness of Christ, saints. There are certain things in the Christian faith we do not back off of at all. I'm going to always stand on the fact that I believe in the virgin birth, that Christ, I don't understand it. It doesn't make any human sense, but Christ was born of a virgin. Let me say that one more time. Biologically, that doesn't make any sense, but Christ was born of a virgin. Born of a virgin. Born of a virgin, the virgin birth. Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just because you don't understand it doesn't mean you can't embrace it. I think I said this last week. I don't necessarily understand how gravity works. I can go up on the top of this building when we let service out. I can get up on the top of this building. I'm like, I don't agree with gravity. I don't believe in gravity. I can say that all I want to, and I jump out that building. Guess what? Gravity gonna pull me on down. Heard a preacher say just this morning, I can say, I don't like the IRS. I don't bow to the IRS. I don't agree with the IRS. But guess what? April the 15th, I better try to pay some taxes or something. So just because, saints, you don't understand it, doesn't mean it's not true. So don't let people out there try to, you know, think, oh, y'all, you Christians, y'all gullible. Y'all believe that stuff? Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. He was born of a Virgin Mary. I say he was born of a Virgin Mary. You can turn here or look to the screen. Let me read it to you in another place, Luke 1, 26 through 35. Because, saints, as we go through, I've been saying this, I think, since the beginning of this month. As we go through, and we're about halfway through the month, you and I are going to have more opportunities than normal to talk to people about Jesus. You know, it's Christmas time. And, you know, people just bring it. Sometimes people ask you, what do you think about Christmas? Oh, that's an open door right there, saints. I said, that's an open door right there. Oh, I'm glad you asked what I think about Christmas. So we got to be clear on some of the distinct things that we believe as followers of Christ. And here it is. One is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Look at this account in Luke 1. This is the angel Gabriel as he's going to appear to Mary. Now in the sixth month, y'all with me this morning? Now once again, saints, keep your spiritual antennas up. Don't be like, oh yeah, I've heard that before. Now once again, if you talk to people who aren't in the Christian faith, they're going to tell you that you are crazy for believing somebody can be born of a virgin. Verse 26 of Luke 1 says this. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. To a virgin, y'all see that? To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. That's part of my title. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, when Mary saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid. I love that. Do not be afraid, Mary. I love this. For you have found favor with God. Oh, son, that's a good place to shout right there. I can't just rush by that. You found favor with God. If you are the redeemer of God, if you're born again, if you're saved, you found favor with God. Not on your own merit. Let's be careful. Don't get too puffed up. Not of your own merit. You and I have found favor with God through the grace and the mercy of God. So this angel said, Mary, you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. Listen to this. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Remember last week we talked about Philippians 2. Christ, every knee going to have to bow. Every tongue is going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ is a ruling and reigning king. Nobody can get him off his throne. Nobody can impeach him. Nobody can vote him out of office. Nobody can vote him in office. He's a ruling and reigning king. He's a ruling and reigning king. That old demented devil, he thought somehow he can somehow, impeach God or Jesus, you know, way back then. And guess what? He got kicked out of heaven. Them and a third of the demons got kicked out of heaven. You can't impeach our God. You can't impeach our Christ. You can't impeach. Nobody voted him in and nobody can vote him out. He's going to be on the throne forever. This angel tells Mary, the throne of his father David forever. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Verse 33. Listen to this, saints. Then Mary said a very logical question. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? Since I do not know a man, how can this be? I'm still a virgin. I haven't had sex. How can I have a child? It's a very logical question. I said it's a very logical question. So like I said, once again, many of us read this so many times. We missed the uniqueness of that. I mean, this is an amazing thing. It's never happened before and it will never happen again. This is the uniqueness of how God chose to send his son, Jesus Christ. So she said, I don't know a man. I'm still a virgin. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit. Somebody say Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I have to admit, when you think about it, we serve a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We often kind of forget about God the Holy Spirit. He's God, a very God. I mean, if you read through the book of Luke, the Holy Spirit is active, very active in the Gospels. I mean, the Holy Spirit has always been here. I said the Holy Spirit has always been here. He didn't just show up in Pentecost, you know, Acts chapter 2. No, he's always been here. Matter of fact, in Genesis 1, you can't even open up page 1 of the Bible without it saying, read it sometime, the Spirit of God was hovering above the earth. The Holy Spirit has always been here. Jesus has always been here. God the Father has always been here. When he said, let us make man in our own image, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We got to get our theology right, saints. All these other little splinter groups, they got their theology wrong. I serve a triune God. You serve a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Not three gods, but one God who exists in three persons. So the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Now, see, even phraseology like that throws us off sometimes. When you see the Son of God, or definitely the only begotten Son of God, that literally means one of the exact same kind. That's why oftentimes when the Jews, when Jesus started talking about, I'm God's Son, they would pick up stones and try to stone him because they knew he was really in that vernacular. He was saying, really, I'm equal with God. And he is. He's God the Son. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. So here it is, saints, two different places, Matthew 1, Luke 1. We see the angel Gabriel talking to Mary, and we see the angel speaking to Joseph in a dream that she would be pregnant, but yet still a virgin. the Holy Spirit will come upon her. Turn back to Matthew 1 now. Back to Matthew 1. Back to Matthew 1:20. The virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, verse 20 of Matthew 1, while Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Again, saints, I'm going to keep hammering this. I know it sounds incredible. I know it sounds impossible. But watch this. With God, all things are possible. I said, with God, all things are possible. Think about it. He created the first two, you know, Adam and then Eve, without people coming together sexually. I mean, this is not too hard for God. I said, it's not too hard for God. Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she who was a virgin, yet pregnant. Can you imagine her going to a gynecologist? Talking about, you know, it's week, you know, 32 or whatever, and as they count up all that stuff, and, you know, something ain't quite right here, something different. Yeah, something is different. She's a virgin, yet she still is carrying Jesus. He's born of a virgin Mary. So this is a truth, saints, that really sounds otherworldly. Let me bring this down right on our level. What do you do, beloved? See, Joseph, I love what he does. We've read it, and I'm going to amplify it in just a minute. He heard this, and he accepted it as the truth. And he ran with it, although he didn't probably understand it, although he might not even agree with it. But he said, I'm hearing from the Lord, and I'm going to run with this truth. So what do you do, saints? When you hear things from the Lord, or read something from the Lord, or hear something preached, or somebody taught you, or somebody things that to you don't really make sense to you or I. Things like love your enemies. Let me stay there for a moment. Love your enemies. That's what the word of God tells us to do, right? Love our enemies. Now, humanly speaking, that doesn't make much sense, right? You usually try to get your enemies back, right? No, Jesus said turn the other cheek. What do you do, saints, when you hear things, when you read something like, pray for those who would despitefully use you. Now, wait a minute, saints. That's not making a whole lot of sense in my human thinking. But yet we gotta do what the Lord says. What about this? Here's a good one. Forgive those who have done you wrong. Now wait a minute, Lord. I gotta hold on to that unforgiveness. I gotta try to get them back. I don't want to forgive them, right? No, saints. Just like Joseph in the text, when you and I are faced with these challenging truths, things like love your enemies, things like pray for those who misuse you. These things are hard to do in and of our own. I said, matter of fact, let me say it different. These things are really impossible to do in and of our own. But watch this. When we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, when we are obeying and trusting God in these types of things, we look more and more like Jesus then than in any other time in our lives. It's very amazing. But Joseph, he had this quality. Watch this. Joseph, who's the earthly father of Jesus. Watch this. Who's the earthly father of Jesus. He's displaying attributes of Jesus. Joseph is being forgiven. Joseph is being obedient to his father, our father. He obeys, even though it didn't make any sense. I said, even though it didn't make any sense, he listens to the angel of the Lord, saints. During this Advent season, saints, during these Christmas celebration days, make sure as the Holy Spirit leads and guides you that you keep looking and behaving more and more like Jesus Christ. He is the one who saves you, and he is the one who is with us. So, you know, the Lord gives all of us some things to do that really, you know, it's pretty challenging. Maybe we don't even really like to do it. Maybe sometimes you see that person that's kind of almost like an undesirable, and the Lord speaks to your heart and mind and says, go over and talk to them about Jesus. And you ain't even feel like going over and talking to them about Jesus. Maybe you don't like the way they look. Maybe you don't like the way they smell. Maybe you don't like the whatever. But you got to obey what the Lord tells you to do. You and I got to obey what the Lord tells us to do. Joseph was going to put away Mary quietly, which was kind of a noble thing to do. But the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph and told him a difference. No, boy, don't put her away. You got to marry her. You got to marry her. So, saints, what do you do when the Lord gives you a tough and a challenging assignment? Do you take the route of Joseph or another route? We can learn from Joseph this morning. We can learn from Joseph this morning. See, Joseph... You know, we have to read this historically because we are looking back. See, Joseph didn't have our vantage point. Joseph didn't know, he didn't have all the facts and data that we have. Now, Joseph didn't have our vantage point. So Joseph just trusted the angel of the Lord. He trusted what God said. And he might have known the prophecy in Isaiah, you know, about the child would be born of a virgin. Perhaps he knew that. I'm sure that was reassuring to not only hear the word in his dream, but also to be able to read it and say, wait a minute. I don't know. Maybe he might say, wait a minute. Isaiah did say the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Now, I'm sure that would have been a comforting thing, right? Come on, Bible readers. I'm sure that would have been a comforting thing, right? I don't know about you, but if I'm struggling with something, don't know which way to go and left and right, and I'm reading the word of God, and I see something through the break, and it speaks to it perfectly out of the word of God, I say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's the answer I needed, right? I wasn't sure which way to go. Now I see it. It is written. I see the word right here. So who knows? Maybe Joseph had one of those moments where it hit him. Wait a minute. The prophet Isaiah said the child will be born of a virgin. Let's hasten on, saints. Verse 21. Look at what the angel said. She's going to bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Too often we get caught up on the wrong stuff. I must admit, it kind of irks me, irritates me. You got this little new group of people running around now, the Black Hebrews or somebody, and they call my, you know, Jesus' name, really Joshua and Yeshua. And really, you know, really, Joshua, Jesus is the Greek name. Jesus is the Greek name. Actually, in Hebrew, it is Joshua. But watch this. We don't need to get debating about what the word is called. It really means, y'all with me? It really means Jesus or Joshua in the Hebrew. It means Jehovah saves. So you can take the Greek name, you can take the name in Mexican, you can take it in Russian. Ultimately, it means Jehovah saves. Let me say it one more time. Jesus' name can be pronounced a lot of different ways in a lot of different languages, but ultimately it means Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. So you can get caught up on all this little stuff if you want to. You better be glad. You better be glad. You better be either get saved by him, or you better be glad that there's an opportunity that he can save you. So Jehovah saves. Read that very carefully in verse 21. It says Jesus will save. Listen to this. We have to read our Bibles carefully. Jesus will save his people from their sins. Y'all see that? Jesus will save his people from their sins. See, make sure, child of God, make sure, saints, make sure, brothers and sisters, make sure that you're in this group called his people. Make sure you're in this group called his people. Because listen, not all people are getting saved. Time out for this universalism. Like, well, you know, if you just treat people right, if you love God somehow, you're going to get there somehow. No, everybody's not going to heaven. Now, it's God's desire that none should perish, that all should come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not all people are getting saved. I'm tired of going to these funerals. I must admit, I'm just going to be honest. Don't record this part, man. Don't record. You know, sometimes you're on a funeral, Brother Bray, and you got to go and read scripture or something. You may barely know the person or whatever. And every person, every funeral I've ever been to in my whole life, everybody going to hell. I'm like, wait a minute now. Everybody ain't going to heaven. You got to go right back way of the cross. Now, the invitation is given to all. I believe that. That's why we pray for missionaries. We go to all parts of the world. The gospel message goes out to all. I do believe that God somehow in his sovereignty makes everybody hear. He'll raise up somebody and send them somewhere. So everybody does hear. Everybody has the opportunity. But many reject Christ. Come on now. We all got friends. We got family members. We got neighbors who say, man, I don't want that Jesus stuff. You can keep that Jesus stuff. Talked to a guy on his deathbed some years ago, on his deathbed, literally dying, didn't know Christ, literally dying. And his granddaughter said, you want the preacher to talk to you? He said, no. I never forget that. Sent chills down my spine. Up at Erlang, he said, no. I'm thinking, this man is dying. And I went to his funeral. It's one of the saddest funerals I've ever went to. Literally, I think I still had a program in there. Literally, it basically, he was born and he died. That was basically, he had a little bit in there, but he worked. Nothing about no kind of church affiliation. You know how we put that in there. But wasn't even no church affiliation. Wasn't nothing. He born and he died. And I remember when I was at his hospital bed, he said, no, I don't want to hear about this Jesus stuff. So saints, this verse here, Jesus has come. Look at it. It's right there in the text. It's right there in the text. Jesus will say, he will say, he saves us. He will save his people from their sins. You got to make sure you're in that number called his people. You can't get in on mama's religion. You can't get in on granddaddy's religion. You and you alone got to come to Christ and bow your knee to Christ and confess with your mouth that you are a savior. You are a sinner, rather, in need of a savior. And confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. We just sang it. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. We don't preach some universalism. I'm sorry, Carlton Pearson, he got off track. And I used to love his singing. He got off track. He think everybody going there. Not everybody not going to heaven. Some people going to heaven, some people going to hell. But Jesus' message this morning, my message from this pulpit this morning is to make sure you in this number called his people. He will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. He will save his people. Not all people. His people from, he died for all people. I don't totally all understand that either. They say his death on the cross was sufficient for all. Listen to me. It was sufficient for all, but only efficient for those who appropriate it to their lives. You got to know Jesus Christ personally. You can't just skate on in. I mean, I'm not trying to say anybody told me that, but when I grew up in the church and got baptized and active in the church and all that stuff, and I'm not trying to say the church I grew up in, Ebenezer Baptist Church, they probably telling me the same stuff. But growing up, I kind of thought, okay, I'm in. I'm good, you know, I'm active in the church, I'm singing in the choir. I used to sing in the choir, the youth choir. Me and two of my buddies even led a song one week. We did. There's a leak in this old building. That was that song. There's a leak in this old building. I still know it. they were singing a little louder than me. I was a little low, but. So I had a good church experience. Don't hear me wrong. But I'm saying sometimes we can get comfortable with our religion just because I was in the church and got baptized and was in the choir and came to Sunday school. You got to make sure, saints, your name is in this, his people. That's my prayer, my heart prayer for you as your pastor. But make sure you're going to be there. He's come to save his people from their sins. Not all people are going to be saved. Jesus, I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. So you got to acknowledge that you're lost and I need Jesus. And if you have Jesus, if you are one of his people, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You ought to be rejoicing this morning. You ought to be glad this morning. You ought to be euphoria should evoke you this morning. Because I'm one of his people. I've been saved by his grace and his mercy. Deserved hell, but God canceled hell and has given me heaven. I have a relationship with the master. I have a relationship with the one who was born of a virgin. I have a personal relationship with him. I don't care if I never meet the president. I don't care if I never meet the leader of Russia or England. I've met Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't have to meet the founder of Apple or IBM. I've met Jesus. Now, those last year, it'd be okay to meet them, but they weren't giving out any loans or anything. But I've met Jesus. Verse 22, saints, as I hasten on, verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, this is the prophet Isaiah, it's out of Isaiah 7:14, you can read it, out of Isaiah. It said, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Isaiah 7:14 basically says that the virgin will be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. See, saints, this is what we call internal, listen to me well. Get some kind of my apologetics sermon type this morning, because a lot of times, once again, people question some of these things. And that's okay. They can question the word of God. They can do that. But that's why you and me need to be versed in the word of God, that we can answer through the word of God the questions they have. This is what we call internal evidence that the Bible is true. What do you mean, preacher? This was written, this quote out of Isaiah 7:14 was written, locked down, written like some 700 years before it happened. So, I mean, there were people who had access to some of the scriptures. There were people who could read this, maybe in, say, 300 or 400 years after it was written. They can read, the Christ child, the virgin shall be with child, and they should call his name Emmanuel. So they could read it. Y'all with me this morning? They could read it before it literally happened. Oh, y'all not with me this morning? I'm saying this was written 700 years before it happened. I thought we've already established nobody can be born of a virgin, right? I mean, that unless God has his hand in it, right? I mean, so who gonna write down something? Well, 700 years from now, somebody write that down and see how that turns out. 700 years from now, right there. 700 years from now, a virgin gonna have a baby. That just don't happen routinely. Matter of fact, that's never happened before. It never will happen again. So saints, once again, as a child of God, you can trust the word of, that's all I'm trying to say. You can trust the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. You know, people have always been, it shouldn't surprise us, have always been trying to attack the credibility of the Bible. It shouldn't baffle us. We can read Genesis chapter 3 when the devil, the first thing out of his demonic mouth, the first thing he said was, this is a Sunday morning a quiz. What was the first thing the devil said in Genesis 3 to Eve? I hear a lot of murmuring. I hear a lot of, come on, Bible readers. No, the first thing I might have heard. First thing he said, read it. Go, that's your assignment this week. Go back and read it in Genesis 3. The first thing he said, did God truly say? That was his first thing. Put some doubt in Eve's mind. You know, God, he didn't really say that. Did he say that? So the people who are on his side, they'll tell you this. When you go out of here today or go Monday or next week, and they'll go, come on, you can't trust all that Bible, can you? That's basically saying, did God really say? I believe in what we call the inerrancy of the scripture. I believe that God had men at first, as 2 Peter 1 says, men to write the Bible. They wrote down what God said. I believe that the grass will wither and the flowers will fade, but the word of God will endure forever. I believe we're going to get a new heaven and a new earth, but the word of God will endure forever. You can stand on the promises of God. I all have some witnesses right there. You can stand on the promises of God. If God said it, it's going to happen. If God said it, he's going to do it. If God has said it and decreed it, it must happen, because he cannot lie. God is he's not like a man and he will lie. It even said this thing, hey, this had to be fulfilled because it had been spoken of by the prophet, the man of God. So he had to be born of a virgin. It had to happen. Listen, saints, there are many Old Testament and New Testament prophecies that have been fulfilled, and then all the ones who have not yet been fulfilled, guess what? They are going to be fulfilled. Let me say that again. All the ones that have not yet been fulfilled, they are going to be fulfilled. So saints, you got to stand strong on the word of God, the promises of God. If God said it, it's going to happen. Now surely, if you have somebody write down that somebody going to be born of a virgin and 700 years later it happens, oh, you can trust the author of that book. You can trust the writer of that book. Two more verses and I'm in my seat. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, he woke up from a dream. Listen to this thing. This is where we can learn from Joseph. He did. That's where we miss it sometimes, saints. Sometimes we hear, we read it, and we hear, and we kind of know what to do, but we don't follow through. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did. Somebody say did. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, his pregnant wife. He was not the father of the child, who says this was of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the angel told him it was of the Holy Spirit. He did not know her, and not only did he take her as his wife, and he brought forth, he did not know her, they didn't have sex until Jesus was born, and called his name Jesus. That's what the angel said to call him, call his name Jesus, which once again means Jehovah saves. So what can we learn from Joseph? First of all, let me reemphasize, Joseph obeyed God. That's always a good thing to do. He obeyed God. He believed God. He trusted our God. Even when it didn't make sense in the natural, he trusted and believed God and obeyed God. And then he went on and named him Jesus. See, he could have named him. We're going to hit on that in the presentation, the play a little later. Y'all have to stay for the play later on. He could have named him, you know, Joseph Jr. Joseph the Second. Because, you know, in those days, a lot of times they did name them their name. You, when you read the lineage, you see Joseph and Jacob, same names over and over a lot of times. But no, he named him just what the Lord told him to name him. So what we can learn from Joseph, we can learn, saints, that he believed God, he trusted God, and he obeyed God. He named him Jesus, and Jesus is the one who saves us. And he's also with us. He saves us and he's with us. He saved us once again from eternal destruction. He saves us from hell. He saves us from a pointless and meaningless life. He can save us from needless heartaches. He is the one, saints. He is the one that not only saves us, but he is with us. He is with us. So never forget the fact that Christ, his birth is unique. Born of a virgin. Came to save us. And is still with us. Get a Lord a hand clap of praise for his word. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, dear God, for the fact that you chose this very unique way of having Christ being born. Of course, he had to be born this way. He couldn't be born of the seed of a man because all of us are born into sin. And so he had to be born this particular way. And it's an amazing, miraculous thing that only you could do, dear God. Only you could do, Holy Spirit. So, Father, all the more sear this truth deep in our hearts and minds. And even as others, as skeptics perhaps, try to debunk it or talk against it. We know that we serve the uniquely born Jesus Christ who was born of the Virgin Mary. And Father, remind us that he's come to save his people. Let all of us be in that number called his people. And that not only does he save us, but he's also with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand and going to do what we routinely do on Sundays. This is very kind of a I won't say a ritual, but it's we give people an opportunity to respond to the gospel, to respond to the fact that you want to make sure that you're one of his people. You want to make sure that you're born again, saved. And if you're not, you can come and we have leaders and ministers and others who can share the gospel, the good news with you and show you today how you can go from being outside of the safety of God to being a child of God, a son of God, redeemed. So if you're in need of salvation, if you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you can come today. Also, if you're here today and maybe you are in Christ, you are born again, if that's you today, you can come today. And you may be looking for a church home, you can come today and join us here at Love Fellowship, where we do love God, we do love his word, we do love people. So you can come today for salvation, which is the most important. The most important. Or you can come for church membership. You may be seated. Again, get the Lord a hand clap of praise for being the one who saves us and is with us. And let us be mindful of Joseph. When we hear these tough truths, we need to